Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
Dave, you know, it's been a busy week, and I had an interesting week. I feel like I'm ahead of the game.
Oh, yeah? How's that?
I got my winter tires on already.
Wow, good for you. I did the same thing this week, actually.
Yeah. It's the earliest, beautiful autumn fall weekend, and I'm ahead of the game.
Well, let's hope everybody is, right? Because it's I think the weather is going to turn on us fairly shortly. Anyways, Rob, thanks. Thanks for joining me today. We've got an interesting show today. One of the things we're going to talk about in the second and third segment is we're going to talk about alternative credit markets. And probably, you know, a term that most retail investors haven't heard, since it's really been largely the domain of big institutional investors and pension plans and whatnot. But we are finding that since the 08-09 crisis, the way, particularly in the United States, the way lending takes place to corporations, you know, these kinds of things, has changed. And how does a retail investor get access to that, right? So I encourage people to stick around for that, because I think it's going to be a very educational, interesting piece of the show today. We've got a terrific guest to help us go through that. But what about big stories this week? Was there anything that caught your attention?
Ooh, there's a couple. You know, I think we all filled in on media a few days this week.
Yeah.
So the week started off on the Canadian side on inflation. Canadian inflation.
And what was your take on it?
Below headline, below estimates.
Yeah.
Right. So inflation is now down below 2%.
Right.
So I think that's a very interesting piece, because we have a rate decision next week coming up on the 23rd.
Yep.
Right. So, you know, what does this mean? What is this going to mean for the Bank of Canada?
Well, you know, I think that's the important piece. Certainly was a surprise. So the markets, I think, were expecting below 2%, but it was a big fall off. Now you look at oil and gas, or certainly gasoline, perhaps is a big part of the culprit. Anybody who's still looking for rents and whatnot, although they're coming down a little bit in our city, they're still, you know, high relative to pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, it was an undershoot, and it was a surprise undershoot, and that will have implications on the rate decision next week. Now I can tell you, the markets are pricing in a pretty high probability now that we're going to see a 50 basis point cut, or 0.5% versus 25 basis points, which was probably the high probability bet a week or 10 days ago.
Right. But things have changed too. It's not just inflation.
Right.
Right. That the Bank of Canada is going to have to consider now, right?
It's
employment.
Yep.
It is the economy.
Yes. Right?
Canadian economy is starting to falter a little bit.
Yep.
Right. So those numbers are showing some cracks.
Well, that's an interesting point, because I reported on a story this week that I thought was interesting, and it probably won't get as much airtime as it should, which is Canadians' attitudes towards immigration. Mm. And for the first time since 1988, there's a clear majority of Canadians nationally that feel we've got too much immigration.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, this particular survey did conclude that it's not that Canadians have wholeheartedly changed their perception of immigration. They're still generally positive of it, but there were three problems that were identified. And the first one, I don't think will be a surprise to anybody, and that is it's created problems in the housing market, right? And so if you're in the market trying to buy a first home or something along those lines, you know what's happened, both with rising interest rates, but the price of homes as well in Canada. The second thing they said was the economy, a weaker economy. That's an interesting one.
How does that work?
Yeah, let's come back to that one, because the third one was really around what they called what it was classified as overpopulation and mismanagement. And so I think a big part of the problem around immigration is not that we have it; it's that it was managed poorly from a federal or from a government perspective, and it's created a number of problems. So let's set aside number one and number three, and come back to number two. Like, generally speaking, you would say if you're adding immigration, okay, adding population, some of the people coming into your country are going to work.
Right.
Those people that are working are spending money. You've got more people working, more people spending money. You've got a bigger economy.
Right.
Right. The math is pretty relatively simple on that.
So is the thought that they're taking away opportunity then?
Yeah, there'll be some of that for sure. For sure. The interesting part that I didn't think got enough airtime from an investment perspective is the fact that we've had such high levels of immigration has meant on an absolute basis, our economy has grown. But when you look at our economy from a productivity perspective, right? The output, the amount of stuff and services we can produce for the amount of people that we have working, it's actually shrunk. Now, compare that to the United States, which consistently is becoming more productive. What it actually means is Canadians' standard of living, quality of life, is falling.
Right.
Like, per person. Not overall. We've got a bigger economy. But per person, we're producing less. We're becoming less efficient as an economy.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good.
Well, and the implications of that...
it's not now. It's down the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think people will start feeling it now, for sure. But think about if we have to renegotiate in 2026 the North America Free Trade Agreement, right? And we're becoming less and less productive, and the U.S. is becoming more and more productive, and they become more protectionist. Like, there's some serious implications underneath the hood on this idea of immigration. And it's something, I'm just throwing it out there right now. I found it interesting, maybe not for the obvious reasons that that the report came out with, but ones that we have to keep an eye on from an investment perspective.
Well, I think that a lot of people's perceptions is, again, coming back to what the Canada or the Bank of Canada has decisions to make, is again on the housing market and the economy,
right?
So it's all part and parcel for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, we're going to need some fiscal policy at some point. Again, from a government perspective, we've got to incent Canadians to become more productive. So take risk or invest. Businesses invest in technology that, you know, can make their staff more productive. Those kinds of things, right? What the U.S. does a better job than what we do. So that'll be an interesting topic I think we can talk about for a long time. How about those retail sales numbers?
They look pretty good. People are spending, right?
Yeah.
It's not just here. It's we're talking more about the U.S.
Yep.
And we're talking abroad.
Right.
Too.
And I think and that, China.
Yes. China specifically.
Well, the two largest economies in the world, they've got people that are spending.
Yeah.
And both of them had unemployment rates that came down. So more people are at work, or perhaps the participation rate changed. But let's assume for a moment that more people are working and they're spending.
Mm-hmm.
And they're spending at a pace quicker than what was expected. So despite the fact that China had weak economic growth, right, relative to what their target is, that September sales data indicates that perhaps some of the stimulus they put in place is going to start to bear fruit. And it was interesting to see, like, if you check, China's a big trade partner. Their biggest trade partner is the EU, right? Now, if Chinese consumers are spending, where are they spending that money? Well, take a look at the Burberry stock, at Louis Vuitton, at all of those luxury items. And those stocks had a great day on Friday. So it was interesting.
LVMH, right?
LVMH, yeah. LVMH, yeah.
Your wife's closet, maybe?
Yeah. My goodness. So I thought that, but the U.S. is still the biggest economy. Their retail spending took a blip the previous month. This month sort of reaffirmed that that the U.S. consumer is still out there spending, and that's 70% of their economy, right? And we saw the opposite in the U.S. happen, where the market started to price out another 50 basis point cut, right? So perhaps it's going to be a little slower pace for the Americans to watch their interest rates come down relative to what we're going to see in Canada.
Well, when you think about the term soft landings take time, right?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we've been talking about that for a long time now. So what do your take on the week then? I was thinking a little bit about September and October, which can be particularly volatile times for the equity markets. You remember back at the beginning of September, that first week of September, right? Yeah. Everybody came back. You and I think you and I were joking about it.
Yeah.
Everybody came back from the long weekend, and I don't know what they did on the long weekend, but they were all hitting the sell button when they came back, right? I thought, what have you people done? You know,
some calmness.
September was good.
Yep.
October, which of course everybody that was in the markets back in the day in '87, that's
this is the time.
The day, the infamous day, right? Everybody thinks about that. So far,
so good.
So good, right? We've got an election coming up. Markets aren't really reacting to that. But the economic data below the surface indicates that soft landing you're talking about is becoming a higher and higher probability as this data comes in, either good or okay.
Yeah. Earnings coming in decent too.
Yeah, right? They are. I would say they are. Okay. That gives lots to think about for people. Let's talk about the upcoming seminar.
You got it. Our next seminar will be held here in Calgary on Tuesday, October 29th at 7 p.m. in person at the Hamptons Golf and Country Club. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
You know, the banks make their money by lending. So how do you take the bank out of that and you take that extra spread for the lending? If you're interested in that, stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.